Hello there, friends. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Hawani. We got a lot to discuss after two UFC events last week and so much going on in the world of MMA. So sit tight. We'll be right with you. But before we begin today's program, let me tell you about something we're really excited about right here at the worldwide leader ESPN. It's season 8 of the great 30 for 30 podcast. And this one's called Heavy Metals Inside the Karoly Gymnastics Empire. It is a groundbreaking 7-part podcast series that takes listeners on a deep dive into the lives and influence of Bela and Marta Karoly, the most successful and controversial coaches in USA gymnastics history. The whole season is available right now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, here's today's show. And as always, listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
Back in your life on this Monday, July 20th, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. That's DC, Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani. And as always, we are presented by Modelo. Modelo Especial. Root for those with a fighting spirit. And Daniel Cormier, we have a lot to discuss coming up.
Yes.
The last time we spoke, two UFC events. Did you know this?
No.
There's been two UFC events since the last
time. Oh, yes. They had a fight on Wednesday. They had a fight on Saturday. Yes. I do remember.
You don't watch them because you're in training camp.
So I haven't really watched as closely as I would normally because I've been training. And then, you know, honestly, man, when you're like so engulfed in fighting and everything is fighting, I talk about fighting on Mondays. I go back to fighting right after I'm done talking about it. That on a Wednesday night, you know, I prefer to just kind of kick back because I'm practicing twice, right? So I train in the morning. I train again in the evening. When I'm done at 7:30, I don't want to go and throw on fights. I just go and lay down, maybe play some video games and just kind of chill.
So you have no idea that there's a new flyweight champion. You have.
I know that. I know that. I watch Figueiredo and Joseph Benavidez. But on Saturday, that was the only fight I watched was the main event.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of the others.
We will get to all of that. Of course, so much to discuss. There's one more UFC Fight Island event this Saturday. Maybe outside of Masvidal Usman, the fight that I was looking forward to the most when all these fights were announced, Robert Whittaker against Darren Till. I love that fight. And the card is just stacked from top to bottom. So we'll get to that. We want to check in with your training camp situation because you're on deck. You're the next pay-per-view. There's all kinds of ads, posters, things of that nature. There's so much going on. I want to ask you about the state of your fight, about where it's going down, all that stuff and more. But let's address something that happened yesterday right off the bat. People hitting me up left, right, and center and a like on your Twitter. Explain to us what happened here, DC.
I get something on my Twitter that said that I'm anti-semantic. This is what you told me. I'm anti-semantic. I don't even know what anti-semantic is, like, to be honest with you. I didn't even know. The first time I saw that tweet was when you sent me the tweet. I had no idea what it is. I didn't even bother to read it. I just unliked it. But I saw that I had a whole bunch of mentions from somebody saying that I was anti-semantic and I didn't like the – and I liked some tweet. So then I'm calling – then you're calling me. I'm feeling horrible all afternoon. I'm like – so I'm anti-semantic towards Ariel. And then I got to think about my friend Danny Rubenstein. So I'm like, okay, so do I not like Danny Rubenstein? Like, what the problem? So I asked Danny. I go, Danny, I go, am I anti-semantic? He goes, that would not be the thing that comes to mind in regards to you. So then he explained to me what anti-semantic is. And no, I'm not that. I'm definitely not that. I don't know how I like to tweet. Okay, but Danny Rubenstein, actually, when I talked to him, he actually goes, well, you got about 10 people that have access to your Twitter. So I need to change my password.
You need to reel that in a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot.
You're approaching 1 million followers, I just noticed yesterday.
Finally. I mean, geez, I've been doing this thing forever.
There was a time where I was like way past you on Twitter. And then I don't know what happened. Maybe this show.
Well, I won some championships.
Yeah, you won some championships. You passed.
But Ariel, I promise you, I'm not anti-Semitic. I promise you I'm not. I don't dislike Jewish people. I don't even know. I mean, you're one of my buddies. You're one of my good friends. Rubenstein, one of my great friends. I've got a lot of Jewish friends that I love, so I don't know what the hell is going on.
Well, I definitely know you're not anti-Semitic. I know you're not anti-Semitic as well. It's actually anti-Semitic. That's how I know. That's how I know that this is all one big confusion. You are not anti-Semitic or semantic. I don't know what anti-Semitic is. Maybe you don't like semantics. You don't like little details and things like that.
Of course I love details.
Well, yeah, you're the host of details. Okay, so you are semantic, but you're not anti-Semitic. Or you are anti-Semitic, but you're not semantic. I'm a little confused. Anyway, I did call you. I saw a lot of people calling me out. You know, you were so vocal about Deshaun Jackson and Steven Jackson. And of course, since we last spoke, it's become like this whole thing. You know, we spent like 25 minutes several weeks ago talking about George Floyd and Black Lives Matter movement. Somehow, over the last week or so, it's become this Jewish community versus Black community thing. And it's totally gone off the rails. I feel like we're brothers. And, you know, comments from Ice Cube and P. Diddy and, of course, Deshaun Jackson, Steven Jackson. And then I guess you liked this tweet, apparently, or didn't like the tweet. So I called you about it. It took me maybe 15 seconds to realize that this was a mistake. It's happened to me where I've scrolled through tweets and I've looked at my likes one day and I was like, I never liked this. I don't even want anything to do with this. It happens. We have pudgy fingers. I know you meant no harm, so.
No, I don't, bro. Like, I swear to God, if you took any offense to it, I sincerely apologize because I did not mean to like some tweet that would be offensive to you or any of my friends.
It is funny though when you asked me one time if I had any Black friends because you were holding the the towel and wiping.
Yeah, I did. Because you didn't know anything about Black people.
I should have asked you if you had any Jew. This is a big deal in your life. Am I your best Jewish friend?
I mean, you and Rubenstein are pretty close, man.
Wow.
Rubenstein I've known for so long. So you and I have like a great friendship. Rubenstein, because of the time spent building our relationship. You got to understand, Rubenstein made my t-shirts back in 2004 for the Olympics. He did my website. He did all these. I've known this guy since college, you know? So it's a close run, but you know, you every day you're starting to edge him out a little bit.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. I'm glad we cleared that up. No harm, no foul, a mistake, an errant. Like we don't know, like you said, multiple people have access to your account. Hopefully you change your password and, we can
call it. So it's kind of difficult to change my password when I don't know it. Okay. So like I logged into my Twitter. But when I got my phone, which is an iPhone 7, I think. I don't know when that came out. I got
you have an iPhone 7?
Yeah, I have an iPhone 7 Plus, the big one. So I have an iPhone 7. I logged into my Twitter and I have never logged out and I've never logged out on my Instagram. So if you ask me to sign in, I don't know if I can do that. Mm.
And there's maybe 9 other people who might know.
I can ask them. I can ask them. But then if I ask them, they'll be like, well, what's the new password?
Yeah. That's a
problem. Because like, why is everything changing? You know, oh, DC, now you're this guy. You're going to change, take me off your Twitter. Like, come on.
Well, okay. I'm glad we cleared that up. Also, I'm glad that you're on time this week. Everyone was really mad at us last week.
15 minutes early. Oh, it was bad.
It was bad. By the way, all those Johnny Come Lately Fairweather friends, we see you on the side on the YouTube comments. If you don't like it, we'll show up at 6 o'clock if we want watch. Okay,
stop. Don't go crazy, man.
They were like, let's get 2,000 downvotes, 3,000 downvotes. You know what? We don't need your Fairweather fans.
No, Ariel, stop. Just stop, please. Stop. We need our fans. We do. Without the fans,
they were very quick to bury us.
Hey, without the fans, we are not the fastest growing show on ESPN. Okay. Remember, that's kind of our thing. You know, like, we got to keep growing. You can't start turning into this guy. You know, don't go all aerial on this. You know, like, don't do that.
What does that mean? I am me.
Well, you do that all the time. Like, sometimes you go all aerial on me, and I don't know what's going on.
What does that mean? I've never gone all aerial. Like, I don't even know what that means.
You do it all the time. You do it all the time. I could tell you something, and I'm like, dude, don't go look. Don't do this. And immediately you go and do exactly what I told you not to do.
Yeah,
I'm like, don't freak out. I'm like, don't freak out, but I'm going to tell you this, and I need you to just, like, understand that I got your back. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, hey, I had to do something in regards to that thing you told me. I'm like, come on. We just had this discussion 5 minutes ago.
I told you, I got that Middle Eastern blood, all right? There's a lot of venom in here, okay?
It's like right away. You'll insult Darren Till, right? Fix it.
Yeah.
2 seconds later, you insult him again. It's like, how do I make things better if you continue to do the same exact thing that's getting you in these situations in the first
place. No, Darren and I are cool. What about those zingers I've had recently on Ben Askren? He's just been continuous 10.
Yo, what is up with you and Ben? Like, leave Ben alone. Like, I put the picture up of us yesterday and somebody goes, man, you're constantly burying Askren. He's like, can you please? Talking about you, not me. Could you guys at least give him an interview? Like, dude, you got people starting to feel sorry. They're turning on you. They're about to turn on you right now. You're becoming a bully. It's like starting to turn into a situation where you're bullying Ben Askren.
Just like you're anti-Semitic, I'm anti-bully, okay? Let's make that very clear.
I guess you just said semantic. That's details. Yes, I like my details, so I am semantic.
Can I tell you what I love? Mm-hmm. More importantly, who I love.
Okay.
I want to be the founding member of the Davison Figueiredo fan club. I love this guy. I think I'm in love with Davison Figueiredo. This guy is something else. First of all, did you see what he wore to the arena?
I saw it on the picture afterwards. He was dressed so nice. He had his hands wrapped. Dude showed up for his coronation. He's ready to become the king. Dude showed up. I was like, wow, this dude's showing up like he has no care in the world.
He walked in there.
That shirt was like velvet. Was it velvet? Was that velvet? Was that a velvet shirt?
The black pants, the sunglasses, right? He's got the hair. He's got the look. But here's the thing about Davison Figueiredo that I just found out. I didn't know, thanks to my friend Guilherme Cruz of MMA Fighting. Did you know this man used to be a hairstylist? Like a legit hairstylist. For women at
Come on, man.
And also a sushi chef. He might be the most interesting man in the UFC, Davison Figueiredo
was a sushi chef. And a hairstyle.
There is footage of him like with the, you know, like with the what's it called? The blow dryer and like the thing.
Like, hey, Davison Figueiredo was dressed to win the championship in the same way he could dress to go do somebody's hair.
Yes.
He's got yellow hair too, doesn't he?
I love this guy. I really love him. And how about that fight, that power,
bro,
skills?
I think when I was watching the fight, I heard a lot of in the build was Joe B saying he won the first round on all judges' scorecards in the first fight.
False.
And I think that gave him confidence, right? Mm-hmm. Or that's something that he held on to give him confidence going into the fight. But what I realized very quickly when the fight started, that even though maybe Davison had lost the first round, he gained something much more valuable in that fight. And that was an understanding of the threat that was Joseph Benavidez. And the way he approached that fight, it just seemed like there was no threat. He was not fearful of Joe B in any way.
What's happening over there? What exactly are you doing?
I was pouring coffee real quick. You know,
in the middle of your soliloquy about how great this guy is. Like, you couldn't have. Usually, you wait till it's my turn to talk.
No. I didn't lean or do anything. You know, like, I'm a very good multitasker. And then Tiago, you know, he's like, Tiago brings the coffee with the spoon and the cream.
Wait, he's doing that right now? That's what happened.
He just did it. It's like Tiago doesn't understand timing, you know, so he just kind of moves with the flow of the wind, you know. That's my guy. But listen, back to Davison Figueiredo, which is much more important.
Yes, yes.
Much more important than you trying to put me on blast all the time. He looked phenomenal. And that understanding he got of the threat after that first round, it allowed him to go in there with just – extreme confidence, and he walked him down, and he seemed to be willing to take whatever Joe B would give him to land one, because he knew that when he landed, he was going to hurt him.
He might be the hardest hitting flyweight of all time. 8-1 in the UFC. Six of those wins now have come via finish. We saw what he did to Benavidez back in February in Virginia. I don't agree with the notion that he lost that first round. I don't agree with the notion that he headbutted Joe B in the second round of that first fight. I think Joe was the one that initiated the headbutt.
And that's what Davison was saying too, right?
Yeah, he was mad about it because there was this narrative that he was the one that did that, and that's part of the reason why they had to run it back. No, they had to run it back because he missed weight, and I understood that, and it was the best fight to make. I get that, but he's not a dirty fighter from what I can see. He's just a really hard-hitting fighter. Now, I wanted to ask you about something in that fight that caught my eye, and you're obviously a lot more well-versed to speak about this. It seemed to me like Joe changed his stance. Like, he had his elbows in like that. Did you notice that? It looked a little different than what we've seen from him in the past. Did you notice that as well? And why did he do that, in your opinion?
So what I think was, what a lot of people miss in the first fight, in the first finish. Go back and watch it very carefully. Right as Davison is pursuing Jill, they come together. Davison lands a nasty left body shot, a nasty left body shot, right? And so when Joby starts to fade away, that big right hand that put him out, that body shot will make you want to start to keep your elbows in tight, right? Which is something people may expect from me with Miocic because he had so much success with the body, with the body punching. So if you keep the elbows in real tight, it's harder for those shots to kind of sneak under the rib. I believe, and I could be completely wrong, I believe that that body shot hurt Joe B, and so he was very aware that he wasn't going to take those shots from Davison anymore. That's what I thought when I watched it after seeing the highlights of the finish so many times. But I don't know. It just seems like everything was like in tight and high, like everybody's trying to keep himself really protected. But then Figueiredo just started wrapping things around the guard. It was crazy because the guard's here, right, blocking here. Davison was just hitting him here. And here, he was catching him on the outside of the guard, and he was hurting him every single time. It was crazy to watch him pursue Joe in that way, being that for a long time, Joe Benavidez was the power guy at 125 pounds. He was the guy that could put you out, and he looked like he posed no threat to Davison Figueiredo in that fight. I mean, that had to be one of the cleanest championship winning performances I've ever seen. Most dominant.
Yep.
The only one that I could think about that even compares, and you can't forget about this one, was when Rafael Dos Anjos completely wiped out Anthony Pettis. Because remember what we thought of Pettis at the time, and Dos Anjos just dominated him for 25 minutes. That was the second championship winning performance that may be in that range, but I still don't know if it was as dominant as what we saw last Saturday.
Joe obviously has a lot of heart, defended the rear naked when it looked like a couple times he was going to be done. It was hard to watch with the multiple knockdowns, I think three total, and then he never tapped. And like I said, he's very well liked. Joseph Benavidez is very well liked in the MMA community, and there's a lot of talk now. And I think he had an honest assessment afterwards of his future that he's not going to get another crack at the UFC belt. 0-4 for his attempts to win a UFC title. 0-5 if you include WEC 135. And so a lot of people are sad for him, and rightfully so, because he is so well liked. But I saw some people afterwards say that he's the best fighter to never win a UFC title. Mm-mm. I can't disagree more.
I don't think that's true.
That's not fair.
I don't think that's true. There are some guys out there that haven't been UFC champion that, I mean.
Can I give you some names? I wrote them down. I came prepared.
I got one at least. I got one for sure.
I know you're going to say. Alexander Gustafsson. Yep, he's on there.
Because he came so close to beating two of the greatest fighters of all time, right? So he didn't even just lose his championship fights. He was right in the mix with two great champions. Do you want me to list anymore, or you want to go?
Go ahead.
Dan Henderson never won a UFC championship. You got to think about the career that Dan Henderson has had before the UFC and in the UFC. Another guy, when I think about.
Okay, let me help you out since I have the list in front of me. I had Hendo and Gus on there. Guy Metzger from back in the day.
Oh, yeah, Guy Metzger.
Alistair Overeem.
Yeah, that's another guy.
Gegard Mousasi.
I think Joe's about on the level with Gegard Mousasi.
Kenny Florian,
another guy that challenged for the belt. And, yeah, Kenny.
Uriah Faber.
Okay. Yeah. So that's
Chad Mendez. Have you heard of the Diaz brothers, Nick and Nate?
Yeah. You know,
Damian Maya.
That's why it's hard to make that big an assessment right in the moment, because when you think about it, it's like, wow. I honestly, for all those guys that you just listed, I could not even say who would be the guy that was the best that never won a title. I think Hendo, given the fact that he won two, probably, but I don't even know if that's absolutely correct, because look at Alistair Overeem. Look at all that he's done. You know, when you look at a lifetime of accomplishments and not getting to wear that UFC title, he might be the guy. You know, so it's hard to make that determination because there's been so many great fighters that haven't had a chance to wear a UFC championship. But then I just believe that that speaks to how difficult it is to become the UFC champion, you know, and it's just a different level of athlete that gets to wear that belt.
I feel comfortable in saying this. He's the best flyweight to never win a belt. I think that's a fair assessment. I don't know how much that means to him.
Well, there's only been three flyweight champions.
I know. That's why I try to be nice here. But here's the thing. He might not even be the best alpha male guy to never win a title. I think that's Uriah.
I think Chad Mendez was the man. It's easy to forget how good Chad Mendez was and how dominant Chad Mendez was for so long because of the way, you know, he walked away. And the memories that you have of Chad Mendez are, wow, you know what, man? Chad Mendez might be the alpha male guy. Because you got to remember, he fought Aldo twice, right? Fought Aldo twice, once in a classic. Mm. The second time he got finished. Fought Conor for the interim championship. Remember, he fought Conor for the interim title too. So Chad Mendez had three title fights against all-time greats, you know, so. Yeah, but Joe B is up there, you know. But again, that goes to the fact that he's so nice all the time. You don't know a guy that's nicer. I've never had a bad interaction with Joseph Benavidez, so it was hard to watch him lose in that fashion. But you know, he's in a good place in his life.
Dana White finally, 2 years later, finally confirmed the flyweights are here to stay. You know, he was always sort of wishy-washy on it. The flyweights are here to stay, and I think that's a testament to Figueroa because I think they know they can market him. He gets it. I hope for his sake he learns just a little bit of English, and this is me I'm not trying to be like ethnocentric or anything like that, but I do think it goes a long way. Look at other guys, like once Junior Dos Santos started to learn a little bit of English, people started to like him a little more, even with Anderson finally towards the end of his career. And I think that American fans, Canadian fans, English-speaking fans, they gravitate towards someone who even tries a little bit. Like when Khabib started to speak English, right? People started to connect with him a lot more. Yeah. So I hope for his sake he learns a little bit English. But are you in favor of this? Are you one of those anti-flyweight guys? Are you anti-semantic and anti-flyweight as well? Please tell us right now. Clear this up.
Okay. I love the flyweights.
Oh, no. Where are we going with this right now? I'm a little worried.
I love the flyweights. The only difference for me is like, learn a little English, but I kind of like the champ being a Brazilian guy that speaks Portuguese and he has his translator and he's just so dangerous. And I don't really truly understand. I don't know what Davison Figueiredo is thinking. And I honestly don't know what Davison Figueiredo is saying because you don't know if the translator is even telling us everything that he's Davison is saying. So I kind of like that intrigue. You know, I like that Khabib has the broken English, but it's not perfect. Thiago talks to me, he's learning English, right? And he says things like bear instead of beard. And Ian's trying to correct him, my chef. I'm like, you leave him be him. Like, let him be the guy that has the broken English. That's part of who he is. And I want Davison Figueiredo to be Davison Figueiredo. I think, like you said, you know, there's a pressure to almost, you have to learn English to get people. But he's got a country behind him. And I kind of like the intrigue of him not speaking it. But I do like that the division's here to stay. I think Davison Figueiredo can be atop that division for a while. I think part of the reason everybody was so sketchy about the flyweights is because once a guy gets the belt, they generally don't lose it, right? DJ had it forever, and Henry had it, defended it. It's like, and it looked like he was going to have it for a while. So there has to be, challengers to Davison. And right now, with the way that he smashed through Joe Benavidez twice, I don't know who can compete with that guy right now.
Okay, and I just want to clear something up. I mean, for me, it doesn't matter, but I feel like the UFC, to promote someone, to sell pay-per-views, to make him into a draw in America, which is their biggest market, it helps them if you speak English, right? Like, I couldn't care less. I just said at the beginning of the show, I want to be the founding member of his fan club.
No, I know for sure. I know you love Davison Figueiredo. I mean,
but don't you feel like, don't you feel like,
you've been beating that drum for the last 3 days? Like, you've been texting me, Davison Figueiredo. I'm like, okay, Ariel, I get it.
Look at that shirt. It was amazing. But come on, from a pay-per-view standpoint, it helps, right? You can't deny that.
So here's the problem. So here's the issue, right? Like, this is the thing, bro. And I don't know how many times I got he won't main event a pay-per-view.
Wow.
It's like,
you will eat your words, okay? You do not.
I'm speak just like saying, like, most like that. He'll be co-main event. That's a lot of times where those smaller weight classes are on the pay per views, and that's fine. and that's fine. So him bringing in the Brazilian fans and people that are Davison Figueiredo supporters, they'll still be there.
Here's one thing I didn't like about the whole Davison Figueiredo experience on Saturday.
Wait, I know what it is. I'm going to tell you.
Tell me.
Because there was, I wanted to say that earlier, there was one mistake I felt like he made.
Two, technically, but go ahead.
When he went over to Joe B and just laid on the ground next to him. I didn't like that. I did not like that.
It's uncomfortable, right?
It was so uncomfortable because you could tell Joe didn't want to be involved in it, right? Yeah. Like he should turn.
Doesn't
he
like him.
His hand. Yeah. He doesn't like him. And then Davison is still just kind of sitting there on his knees. Joe's kind of trying to turn away from him. And then the ref tries to come over and pull him away to bring him to his corner. Like that was one mistake I felt he made. I did not like that.
The only thing worse than that is when you knock someone out or beat them up or win, obviously, you know, a one-sided fight and you put the guy on your shoulders or you hug him or something.
You
like
carried him?
No. But you, I've seen this before.
Say, what?
No, but I've seen this before. Have you not seen – you've seen this before, right? Like when you clearly won and you're celebrating, you bring the other guy with you. It's the worst. Bro. Yeah.
I was wrestling because I'm not going to call this a fight. I wrestled at UFC 200 with Anderson. And I was like, I won. I pinned him. I teched him. I teched this dude. And I get up. I'm tired. He kicked me in the stomach, right? He kicked me in the stomach a little bit. I'm tired. I'm talking to Bob. I look behind me. They're carrying Anderson on the shoulders. I was like, what did I miss here? Did he?
Oh, no. I'm talking about when the guy, like if you would have carried Anderson, like when you clearly picked someone up and they're like, yeah, let me show you props when I'm celebrating.
Did Davison do that?
No, I'm just saying it's happened before. I can't think of it right now, but it's happened. That's the only thing worse than what you said. Yes, it was uncomfortable because he's kneeling there and Joe B is like kind of out of it. He wants nothing to do with this guy. He said before the fight that he wanted to seriously hurt him. And he's like, get out of my face, right? Like my dream of being a UFC champion is over. Get out of my face. So I get what you're saying. But here's what I didn't like. I didn't like the fact that after, who are the two names that he calls out? Cejudo and DJ. Come on, man. First of all, one's not in the promotion and the other is retired and has no interest in making 125. Like if we need... If the flyweights are going to have a future, we need to have flyweights defending titles against flyweights and not talking about super fights and moving up to 135 and all this stuff.
That's the problem.
Get me the belt so that's my ticket to do other crazy things.
That's the problem. It's like when Davison Figueiredo just wins the title and starts talking about challenging the 135-pound champ, that is not good for your division.
Right.
You have to stay down. And there has to be pride in your belt, right? You worked hard to become the UFC champion. You can obviously see that it meant a ton to him. But, yeah, that's one of the issues with 125. These guys start looking to the next thing immediately. They need to live in their division for a little bit.
I'd love to.
And he will. And he will. See, another part of the issue is Davison's a big guy for 125. And he's missed weight before, right? Yes. So it must be scary to him to know now that if there is a weight miss, not only do you get to fight, you get to fight not even for your championship anymore.
Yeah, did you see him on the scale? He made weight. After all that craziness of the past week, he had to take multiple COVID tests and he was late. He missed the charter plane, but he looks like a skeleton on the scale.
He's big in there though. Yeah. How big is he in there? I mean, he's massive. I was like, wow, he's a big guy.
He's another Valid Ishmael guy. Love Valid Ishmael. He's a classic. You know Valid Ishmael? Mm-mm. The manager. You've seen him before. He's the jungle fight promoter. He's got the bald head. He's a very intense guy. He's always with Paulo Costa.
Oh, I know. I know. I know exactly who you're talking about. Yes, I do know who you're talking about.
This man exactly is for real. He is for real, brother. He is for real. He's a champ. He's going to knock him out.
He's the man, Valid. So congratulations. I'm happy that the division is staying. There's players, by the way, in case you're worried. Askar Askarov, who won on Saturday, who looked great. You obviously didn't see the fight. You've admitted to that. I appreciate it.
It was a Russian guy that fought that my cousin told me looked really good.
Yes, Askar Askarov, the guy just mentioned.
Yeah. He's a wrestling dude. He can go.
He's, by the way, he's 85% deaf. Can't hear anything in the middle of the fight.
So he's just in there going.
He's just a beast, yeah.
Even more impressive. He's got some great cardio or something, right?
Yep. Brandon Moreno. Alex Perez. So there's names out there, and I want
to
see them.
Alex Perez is starting to look like he's kind of finding his groove. Moreno's really good.
That France at a City Kickboxing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's names.
Man, I'm telling you, in all those names, I don't think I would pick any of them to beat Davison.
And no one can wear a shirt like Davison or like style that. Hair. Would you let your wife – I see your wife has luscious locks behind you. That's your family beautiful photo. You changed the photo this time.
I changed
the
backdrop a little bit. This is a new thing I'm doing, right? Like I'm going to change it this week. I'm going to change it next. I'm going to just keep changing it up.
Every week you're going to change it?
Well, probably not every week. You know, I kind of got to hit myself there. But when I get the urge, I'll change it.
All right. Well, that's good. Would you let her visit my wife has very short hair. Would you let her visit Davison Figueiredo's hair salon?
I don't know. I mean, okay. If he's good, that's not my hair. I don't. I honestly have nothing to do with Selena's hair. I've never had to say. I've never said, "Oh, I really like that style of hair, Selena. Could you keep it?" Because if I do that, she might change it. I don't know. I don't get to choose her hair. You know, it always looks nice, and that's what I care about. And if Davison Figueiredo is good enough to do her hair, yeah. But hey, you ever notice how expensive it is to do their hair, though?
Yeah.
Like women doing their hair, it costs way more than a $15 haircut.
Derek Lewis owns a hair salon in Houston.
Really?
Yeah.
The Beast owns a hair salon. I got barbershops. I don't have a hair salon. I got barbershops, but
are your barbershops still open?
Yes, they are. But with the COVID thing, man, it's like one of them. We had a couple older barbers, and they're really concerned about going into the shop. So that location, we may end up closing it and just combining them into one. We got one that's really busy, and then the one with the older guys isn't so much. It's not the best location. So we may close that one, combine the barbers into one shop, and then maybe open another shop somewhere down the line, me and L. It's good.
And by the way,
L's my business partner and brother-in-law.
That's one of my favorite things that you do when you just mention someone's name that no one knows who that person is. Like we're supposed to know who L is or Cassandra.
We have this like great joke about L, right? He's from Alabama and we call him the blackest person in America because he did those tests to find out your genealogy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And everybody always has like 70% African, 15% this. This dude had 98% African. We've never seen one where there's like it's all so much one thing. And his name is Lavoris Chantrell Walker. And we go, man, you're the blackest dude in America. And he's like, man, shut up, man. It's the funniest thing in the world.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You want, because I got Marquita on the phone. So
go ahead. Yes, please.
Marquita.
Go ahead.
Hey, babe, what's your bird's name?
Tilly.
Tilly. The bird's name is Tilly?
I'm thinking of a new name.
Wait, the bird's name changes?
Yes, I change name.
How often do you change your names? Okay, so Key, what's the bird's name? What's the bird's name right now? Tilly?
Tilly.
Tilly. Okay. All right. I love you.
Wait. What's the origin of the name?
Key, why is the name Tilly?
I don't know.
Okay, Kiki, I love you so much, sweetheart. Yeah. Bye.
There we go.
The bird's name is Tilly, but next week the bird's name may not be Tilly.
Okay.
So I guess she changes the name. She just told me. That's why I didn't know the bird's name.
It changes.
Because she doesn't know. It changes.
I really wanted to ask her what happened to the other birds, but do you think that would have upset
her?
No. Okay. Sorry. I was really curious.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so that's the story as far as the main event is concerned. Now I want to talk about the middleweight division because we saw the return of the Joker, Jack Hermanson, who, by the way, might be pound for pound one of the nicest people in the sport. He's so smiley. He's so happy all the time. Heel hook submission. In DC, we had two heel hook submissions in this card on Saturday. You had the heel hook by Mr. Jack Hermanson. You had the knee bar by Ariane Lipsky, which was just brutal to watch. But Hermanson doing that to Gaslam was very impressive. And afterwards, DC, he laid out. This was great. Usually someone calls someone out after a fight. He didn't do that. He laid out the entire middleweight division.
Yeah, he
booked the whole thing. He said, all right, I'm going to fight the winner of Whitaker versus Till. And then Jared Cannonier is going to fight the winner of Whitaker versus Costa. And it all kind of made sense. I was like, you know what? I don't hate this. I like it very much.
And then said by the end of it all, it'll be Paulo Costa that's holding the title. Like initially I thought he was faking it. He was so happy all the time. Jack Hermanson. There's no way he's that happy. And I was so skeptical. I was like, he's lying. He's not that nice. And then I met him and he was that nice. And then I met him again and he was still that nice. And he's just been that nice ever since. Jack Hermanson is really that nice a guy and he's an absolute killer. And Kelvin hit this beautiful lateral drop, right? As he was getting taken down, he lateral drops Hermanson, and Hermanson gets his the ankle lock submission. It was beautiful. I mean, massive way for him to make a statement in his return to the octagon, because who did he lose to last? Cannonier, right?
Jared Cannonier,
yeah. Losing that last fight was a step back, but then to do what he just did against Kelvin Gastelum immediately puts him right back in a position to get where he's trying to go.
So I like the idea of him fighting the winner of Till versus Whitaker. I also like the idea of Cannonier, since he beat Hermanson, fighting the winner of Izzy versus Costa. And on Saturday, Combate reported first, and then we reported a few minutes later that Izzy versus Costa is going to headline the September 19th pay-per-view, the one after you, UFC 253. Now, everyone made a whole big stink over the fact that at the post-fight press conference, Dana White said it wasn't done. But if you actually go listen to the post-fight press conference and not just follow the headlines, which people are lazy and they do this sometimes and it drives me nuts, it's very clear. He has a conversation with Mick Maynard. He says only one side signed at that point, which was true. The other side, Izzy Adesanya, was sleeping. That's why he didn't sign. And if you actually look at Izzy's Instagram story right now, he posts a thing saying that he signed his contract. So it's good to go. It's happening. It wasn't fake news. Tatiana Suarez, by the way, stirs the pot. She called me out for reporting fake news. She also called you out last week, by the way.
For what?
Yeah, she called you out.
No, she didn't.
She did.
No, she didn't.
When
Suarez is my girl, Doug. She did not call me out.
Let me tell you something. She called you out in a big way. When we were talking about Masvidal, you called it a two-piece and a biscuit.
That's what I said, because that's what it is. Dog, Popeye is two-piece and a biscuit.
It's three-piece and a soda.
That's what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said. And you said two-piece and a biscuit, and she called you out. She called you out. And then
I can't let go of my childhood. It was 99 cents, you know, two-piece and a biscuit.
Is that a real thing?
That's a real thing. And on Tuesdays, they still do it. Two-piece and a biscuit. $0.99, two pieces.
Just two pieces. I feel like that's not enough.
It's like a leg in the thigh. It's a leg in the thigh. It's not. You're not gonna get any white meat for 99 cents, but you'll get a leg and a thigh and a biscuit, and it's so buttery. The biscuit's all buttery and warm. Put a little bit of honey on it. It's the best. I haven't had that in a while, you know, because of training camp. But,
what are you talking about? Last week, you called me. You were fighting with your chef Ian about having like the rice or something.
Yeah, because he doesn't make the kind of rice I like. I don't like long grain rice. It's too dry. I'm a rice connoisseur. Dude, let me tell you something. There's not many people in the world that understand rice better than me. I want medium grain rice. I don't want long grain rice. I just go crazy every time. Because the long grain rice is like, it's all separate. It doesn't kind of stick together. The medium grain is like nice. It's almost like that sushi rice that kind of sticks together and just tastes real good. You know, I'm like, I didn't eat medium grain rice until I met Selena. And the moment I ate it, I was like, wow, this is much better. So now it's all medium grain for the boy. So me and Ian, I yell at Ian all the time.
We're arguing about something because you wanted like spicy rice or something.
So for a while, Ian was making my food super spicy, and it was kind of like making me sick because I like my food spicy, but it was like too spicy. He was like, okay, you want spicy food? I'm going to get you. And then I was like yelling because I don't know what it was. I'm always yelling about something.
Yeah, I get
a little like aggravated. But Ian's a good sport. He's the best. He's the man.
Training camp DC in full effect.
Sometimes I can be a bit to handle. I know that. I can admit that. And I think that speaks to the type of person that I am.
Mm. No, but it's interesting because like last week I felt like you were no nonsense. Today you're in a much better mood than last week.
I am. Yeah. Last week I wasn't in a great mood.
Why?
I don't know. It just wasn't a very good week for me last week.
Okay. You know, all right.
It's hard for you to sway. It's hard for you to like your training can sway your mood. Like you don't spar well. You don't do things well. I just feel like I'm much better recovered this week. I took a little bit of a week back last week instead of just push because you can run yourself into the ground. And I think I was doing that. You know, I want to win so bad.
Oh, I know. I have a lot of people saying, DC, you need to stop doing the show. You need to focus. Is this a strain on you, or is this?
I need this. Like I'm such a focused guy that if I don't have things to distract me, I'm in trouble. And you know, before I would coach wrestling, I would coach football, I would do all those things, and I don't have any of that anymore. So now I have to find ways to kind of get my mind off the fight because it's all I think about.
Right. Do you feel like it's more pronounced this time because it's the last one?
Not even that. Like, I think it's more pronounced because I want to win so badly. And I feel like I fumbled so bad. Like, I fumbled really bad last time. Like, I fumbled in a lot of ways, though. I was so distracted with everything going on in my life. And just, I was so focused on coaching and all these other things that I kind of just fumbled. I fumbled bad. And I wasn't prepared as I needed to. And I got tired. Like, I got tired. Like, I can admit it. That's why I got tired, you know? He hit me with those shots at the end. He hurt me in the body. Then he hurt me in the head. And I didn't react, right? Because my body couldn't react because I was so tired. And I will not allow that to happen again. If he ever finds a way to hurt me, I need to fight back like I did in every other instance in my entire life. I didn't do that last time. And it sits with me every single day. You know, like, when I go to bed at night, that's why everybody's like, man, you always got people around you, because it sucks to be around my thoughts. Because when I'm just stuck with my thoughts a lot of time, I start thinking about the things that I didn't do that got me beat last time. So I try to occupy myself.
Did you have a false sense of confidence because you beat him in the first round the first time?
I think when, you know, earlier I spoke about Davison Figueiredo finding some comfort in the threat level of Joe Benavidez. I think that's what happened to me too. I was very comfortable because I felt like I was better, and I still do believe I'm better, but that was almost like reaffirmed after the first round, because I would hit him with everything I threw. I mean, even at the end of the fight, I think I landed like 70% of my strikes. Like, I barely ever missed, you know? So it was just a bad combination that got me beat. And so I think about it constantly, Ariel. It's bad. It's really bad.
Dream about it?
When I go in the room at night to go to bed, because, you know, because of all this COVID stuff, I've been staying at my other house so that I'm not around my wife and my children, because I'm having to come in contact with so many other people. Mm. So every night I go in the room and I go to bed, and for 30 minutes I don't sleep. I just lay there and kind of like think about everything. And it could happen 5 minutes in, it could happen 10 minutes in, but at some point I'm going to think about the fight again. And I'm going to think about all the things that led to me getting beat. It happens every time without fail.
Do you watch it?
I've watched it. I watched it so far one time. That time I watched it on the treadmill. Now, people watch it. Coach Mark Henry was here for a week last week or 2 weeks ago, and he watched the fight every single day. And he broke down the fight every day, and he spoke to me about the fight every single day. And I didn't need to watch it, because I feel like through him, I've watched the fight 100 times. Mm. Because now I know every single punch he threw. I know that when I throw, he's always going to try to counter. I know that at the end of his combinations, there's a certain punch that comes every single time. like, because he just studies it and studies it and studies it and studies it, that I'm so familiar with Stipe Miocic, you know, not only from the time I spent in the octagon with him, but also through all that film study that coach has done.
Here's my one worry. Is it possible that you will put too much pressure on yourself because you want to end with that Cinderella moment, winning the belt, last fight, all that, that you're adding too much pressure? There's enough pressure to beat Stipe, one of the greatest heavyweights of all time, right?
No, it's not even about that. Like, so I just want to go – I just want to do what I'm supposed to do, right? And if that means win, that means win. But I want to compete to my ability. That wasn't the best of my ability, right? I know that because of who he is, there's a chance that he could beat me, right? Like, you got to be stupid not to think that a guy that has done all that he's done can win a fight. But if he does, I want him to be the best version of me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if he wins that fight, I want him to do it by beating the best version of Daniel Cormier, not a guy that's not even a year out of back surgery and not in the best physical condition and not able to train himself to be who he is. And that's all I want. I want to be able to go out there and compete to my potential. And with that said, I feel my potential is me winning the fight for sure. But I just want to be able to do it the way that I've done it my whole career. That's it.
By the way, most importantly, right now, is this fight happening in Abu Dhabi?
No, it's happening in Vegas.
No, I know that's the plan, yeah. But I heard Dana say, like, you know, they're thinking of backup plans.
I spoke to him. I spoke to Dana right after that because, again, you turned me into Ariel when you're like, are you fighting in Abu Dhabi? And I was like, what? You're like, are you fighting in Abu Dhabi? And so I texted Dana and I asked him, I go, am I going to Abu Dhabi? And he was like, no. He's like, the fight's in Nevada. He said, unless something changes completely, right? Honestly, things are changing. In California, things are changing. They closed everything down again. Gyms were open for like a few hours. And then they shut them all down starting today, I believe. Restaurants and everything is starting to kind of close down again. So it's things are changing. And if things continue to change in Las Vegas, then, yeah, the fight may be in Abu Dhabi, which would benefit or play to what Stipe has been wanting, because we go to Abu Dhabi, we fight in a bigger cage.
Mm-hmm. But right now you don't feel like – they're not telling you – are they even saying there's a chance?
No. Said Nevada, you know. Okay. That's the thought. That's the hope for me. I'd prefer to fight here. I'd prefer not to go to Abu Dhabi. You know, my wife's, you know, 7 months pregnant now. She'll be almost 8 months pregnant whenever the fight is about to happen. So I'd prefer not to fly halfway across the world to go fight. But I would if that's what would have to happen. Definitely.
Don't be saying you turned me into Ariel. I saw it. I saw him talking about it. So I came to you to let you know, because I know you weren't reading it. I was like, hey, man, it sounds like there's a chance you might be fighting in Abu Dhabi. By the way, I can't believe that your wife is 7-8 months pregnant. I feel like we've been on this whole journey together. How's she feeling?
She's feeling good. You know, this one's been a little tougher than the others, you know, but she's a strong woman and she's a fighter and she loves her children. And with the baby now, I can see that every day that the bond that there, it grows. Like, it's crazy, right? Like, I have to wait until the baby comes in order to start to build my bond. Sure, I can talk to her and I can rub Selena's belly, but I have to wait until the baby comes to hold her and start to build my bond with her. There's that thing where you take your shirt off, right? And you go skin to skin with your kid, right? Like, that's like one of the ways that we as men can bond with our children. I can see every day that she is building her relationship with the baby as she grows inside of her. So I'm very proud of her.
Oh, so you're having a girl?
Yeah, we're having a girl.
Oh,
yeah.
Congrats. Because last time
I didn't tell you that?
No, you remember I asked about the bris, if I could do the bris and this and that?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, you asked me to do that. I forgot about that. Can I do that? Like, you don't know how to do that. Like, why would you ever even offer
did
that?
Did you have, like, a gender reveal party, one of those things?
No, it was just me. And so it was me. Tyler Minton,
oh.
Tiago, Tyler what a Minton. Party. What they did was they took the Tyler and Tiago put the confetti in the balloons, and they gave me and Selena each one, and then the kids had those guns that shoots out the stuff, and so when we popped the balloon together, the kids pulled the thing and it all shot out pink, And I got to be honest with you. Little Daniel wanted a little brother so bad.
Oh, man.
He couldn't even hide like how – but he'll love his sister. But he wanted a little brother, right? He wanted him to wrestle. He wanted him to – he wanted to be able to guide his little brother. But now he's come around to the fact that he's having another sister. And I continue to tell him he's the protector. Mm. And he has to protect two sisters now, right? So he's even more of a big dog than he ever could have imagined.
I mean, you could have FaceTimed me. I could have taken part in it. You know,
I mean, but like, you're crazy.
I mean, it would have been
You're so crazy.
I mean, hey, Ariel, at 3 o'clock today, we're going to do a gender reveal FaceTime. You know what I mean? Would have been nice, but you know.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I find out I'm number two on the Jewish pound for pound list in your book. And now I don't get the invite to the gender reveal. In any event.
They're going sideways.
Yeah, I mean, faster than I thought. In any event, can I get your thoughts, your immediate thoughts on Izzy versus Costa? We went on a serious tangent.
Like, what?
You did like a little mini interview in the middle of the show there for a second. It was great.
Don't say interview.
Okay, sorry. Just the second time, by the way, in UFC history that two undefeated males fight for a UFC championship. The first, UFC 98, Rashad versus Lyoto, of course, eventually won by Lyoto Machida. Now, you could put a little asterisk there because, of course, when you fought John Jones, technically, in most people's eyes, you were both undefeated, but technically you had the one against Matt Hamill. So officially,
that's absurd. He's undefeated. The guy's undefeated.
I appreciate you saying that. But officially, this is just the second time. By the way, that was 11 years ago. There's been 150 UFC title fights. This hasn't happened again. So it just speaks to how special this fight is. These guys hate each other. I love the dynamic. Can you give us an early look into the fight? How do you think it plays out? And if you want to
love this fight,
that'd be nice too.
Ariel, I love this fight. I mean, I think this is one of the most exciting fights the UFC can make. I think that Israel Adesanya is a massive star. As you see, man, it seems like the sun just came down. Is my face starting to look a little different now?
No, you look great.
It's fine? Okay.
Yeah. The hair looks nice.
Israel Adesanya is just one of those guys that now I watch him and I feel like I can feel almost like the star radiate off of him. But Paulo Costa is as dangerous a fighter as anyone can hope for. And, you know, when I look at the matchup, I know that Izzy likes to counter, right? Mm. That's why the Romero fight was so bad. Both of them were waiting for chances to counter. Paulo Costa will give him those opportunities because Paulo Costa is not going to stand back with him. He's going to go after him. He's going to fight him with so much pressure, so much forward pressure that Izzy will have his chances to find those counter opportunities. The problem with that is no one's been able to stop Paulo Costa from fighting in the exact way that he wants to. Very interesting fight. And it's hard to know who's going to get the victory, honestly, because for as good as he is, I believe Paulo Costa is just as skilled, just as talented, and as powerful as any guys I've seen. I mean, this guy looks like a heavyweight fighting at 185 pounds. I don't know how he makes weight. I was talking to his one of his coaches, Eric Albarracin, right? And they were talking about a guy going in to be one of his training partners, a kickboxer I used to use. And I was like, yeah, I was like, he's tough. I was like, you know, he works hard. He'll always fight you. He goes, good, because Paulo needs so many guys because a week and a half in, he breaks them and he has to replace the training partners because he does not go to protect his partners. He goes through you and then give me the next guy. Reminds me of Kane back in the day. So interesting fight. Izzy will have his spots to counter because Costa's going to bring a lot of pressure.
He's known as the eraser, so I'm not surprised to hear him do that, Paulo Costa. I love the fight because of the history, because it's just the second time two undefeated males, because they truly hate each other. Remember last week, we were talking about Jorge and Camaro hugging. These guys are not going to hug.
They're not going to hug, right? No.
There'll be no hugging whatsoever. You know what I also love about the fight? You know, in this day and age, everyone has an opinion. I mean, even with your fight, some people are like, oh, Francis should fight Stipe. Oh,
yeah,
John Jones should fight Jan or Dominic Reyes. Kamaru, you know, I say the Edwards and Gilbert Burns and Masvidal rematch. There is no other fight for the 185-pound title that we want to see, right? This is the fight. Like, there's no debate. They want the fight. We want the fight. I love that about it. And to your point, I also love the fact that Izzy's a little annoyed that everyone jumped off his bandwagon after the Romero fight. I mean, we forget – last year, arguably the fighter of the year. Incredible performance against Robert Whittaker, right? I mean,
Gastelum fight was
fight
crazy.
Of the year against Kelvin Gastelum. The Anderson fight was fun. And then all of a sudden, the guy has one, you know, substandard fight, which really wasn't his fault, in my opinion. Everyone's like, oh, he's a bum, he's a bum, he's a bum. This fight will not be boring because of what you just said. Costa doesn't know how to wait. Like, he just goes full force. And that might be ultimately his undoing in this fight, because I can see a situation where, like, almost Izzy's going backwards and knocks him out, like a Stipe versus Verdum situation. But I love this fight. Now, it was met with mixed feelings because everyone thought that Khabib versus Gaethje would be in September.
Yeah, I knew right away that Khabib wasn't going to – it's going to be too difficult, you know? It's going to be too difficult, you know, like you got to, like, you know, Khabib is dealing with something that is so difficult and so tough, right? And like we spoke about a couple weeks ago, him and his dad's relationship is so much different, and he was everything to him, and now he's gone. So it's going to be a while before we see Khabib, man. And I love my brother, and I hope that he takes as much time as he needs, because it's just a different situation for Khabib and his dad opposed to most people. So don't rush himself back in there. Mm. You know, take your time. And so, yeah, so we don't get Khabib in September. Okay. You get Izzy versus Costa, which is a phenomenal fight. And you know what else I loved? I love Dana White saying, take as much time as you want. Because Dana's fully aware of the relationship that Khabib had with his father. And he understands that you can't ask a guy like Khabib to do this thing without coming to terms with everything that he has lost in his life now. So I support him taking some time. He needs it.
Look, I know that my fellow media members have to ask questions sometimes, and they're not always the most comfortable questions. It's uncomfortable to hear them ask about Khabib and his status. We need to chill on that front.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, guys, just read the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, read the room. Izzy versus Costa. The man is devastated. He just lost not only his father, his mentor, his best friend, his coach. Like, even if he doesn't fight this year, honestly, even if he doesn't fight again, I would understand it.
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
I don't think he's fighting this year, honestly. And it's going to take a lot of strength from a very strong man for Khabib to be back in the octagon ever, I think.
You think there's a chance he never fights again?
Man, I just know what Abdulmanap meant to him.
Yeah.
And I know that this was their journey together. You know, I hope he fights. I just don't know. Like, I don't know. Like I said, you know, he's going to have to muster up a lot of strength for an already strong person to go out there and do it. And if he does, I mean, I just don't know how long he'll be around. You know, maybe he fights. You know, maybe he fights and honors his father with another massive and unbelievable performance. But I look back to his fight in September and when he won and the way his dad reacted. It almost like you saw the video where his dad kind of like reacts after he won against Dustin Poirier. Mm-hmm. It almost like his whole body, his spirit was filled with joy watching his kid do that. And I'm just happy they got to share that together.
So we'll get Izzy versus Costa. They both signed. They're both mm-hmm. good to go. September 19th. We'll see what else. And we don't know, by the way, where that fight is happening. It might happen in Abu Dhabi, as you mentioned. But we knew that, you know, eventually they're going to go back to Abu Dhabi. Like, this isn't the end of quote unquote Fight Island. We know that for sure. We just don't know when. It'll be Vegas or Abu Dhabi. I don't think it's going to happen in New Zealand or Australia. I saw some people saying that they're very strict with their rules, kind of like my home country, Canada, saying no to the Blue Jays. Like, they don't want people coming in from all over the world and all that. There's quarantine involved. So it's probably going to be Vegas or Abu Dhabi. We'll see what happens. But speaking of Khabib, I want to ask you about Khamzat Chimaev. This guy has everyone talking. They're calling him mini Khabib, but really, he's a bigger version of him. He's 170 and 185. He made his debut against John Phillips at 185 last Wednesday. Now he's fighting 10 days later. Eventually it'll be 10 days on Saturday against Rhys McKee, who's a great prospect out of Ireland. But everyone is very high on this guy. He fights out of Sweden, out of the All-Stars gym in Sweden, Stockholm, Sweden, where Alexander Gustafsson trains out of. Have you seen this guy, Khamzat Chimaev? Because people are very, very high on him.
I saw some highlights of his fight. He got the
Darce choke.
He got the Darce choke. Yeah, I heard that he went out there and just truly dominated that fight. Takedowns and a lot of good top pressure. Yeah, I you know, anybody that fights twice in 10 days is it's exciting, especially if he can put another victory behind the one that he had a couple weeks ago. And if he is as impressive as people are saying, then it, you know, he's a guy to look out for. But I got to be honest with you. I knew that eventually when the Dagestanis and the Russians started truly making their way into mixed martial arts, they're such good combat sports athletes that I knew they would become a problem for the world, as they do in wrestling. I've said this to you. One year, the Russian national team won 6 out of 7 weight classes in the wrestling world championships. Wow. They're consistently the best wrestling nation in the world, right? And now a lot of these guys are taking that same approach that they took in wrestling to mixed martial arts. And now you see two Russian champions, Habib and Piotr Jan, and you got Zabit right on the cusp. You got Islam Makhachev that's got to be working himself pretty close. And now this new kid that you just said, it's you're going to see a lot of Russian fighters making their mark in MMA because they're great combat sports guys.
Hamzat Shamayev, remember that
Hamzat
name.
Hamzat Shamayev.
Yeah, he is a beast. And I feel bad for Reese McKee. Reese McKee, a Cage Warriors product, Bama product, who a lot of people are high on. All of a sudden, there's only one Irish-born fighter because Joe Duffy, respect to him, retired on Saturday. All of a sudden, it's just Conor McGregor after that invasion. And now we get a second one in Reese McKee from Northern Ireland. And you got to debut against this guy on a week's notice. That's a tough drama,
tough
man.
Ask.
I feel for him, but I think that that's a name that people are very excited about.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right.
Yo, like, I don't know what happened, but, like, it's like...
Yeah, the light situation over there is...
Like, went crazy.
Speaking of crazy, have you seen Max Holloway's new hair? What's going on over there?
This is better, huh?
Yeah, it's much better. Well, now you know what it looks like now? What you said? It looks a lot more pronounced that you have, like, really... Like, you got the island thing going, but, like, nothing in the middle. I don't know why the lighting looks like that, but it looks like you've got the hair here.
It just looks like...
All of a sudden, you look 65 years old.
Really?
Yeah. What?
I know I can see it. Okay, back. Shine down on me, light. Make me beautiful again.
What do you think of Max Holloway's hair? Did you see that?
I don't like it. I don't know what Max is doing. Max is going. That judge, that decision that Max was on the wrong side of really has taken a toll on him. My boy done dyed his hair and everything. I don't know what's going on. I got to call him.
Does he have to dye the mustache as well? Is that the problem? Because he's got I think that's the problem. You got to go Hulk Hogan. You got to do the whole thing. You can't have two colors, no?
Could you imagine if he dyed that mustache? But no, like, he can be like, it's like Hollywood Hogan. Remember Hollywood Hogan had the dark?
That's what I'm saying.
Hair started to go black.
Well, he had dark on the sides.
That was nice.
It was so great when he had that. He was such a great heel, you know? People didn't think that he
all those years, those years as a face, the moment he went heel, he was the man. And I'm sure, you know, like this, he was the man. When he bashed at the beach, he went bad. They threw all the debris inside the ring. People were really, really hurt whenever that dude went bad. It was awesome.
He screwed up the promo, though. He called it the New World Organization in the promo. When he should have called it the New World
Organization. Remember when he went to WrestleMania one time and he did the opening and he was like, "What's going on, Dallas? They're all in Miami."
I think they were in New Orleans, right? Something like that.
I don't know where they were. But this dude's like calling out the wrong state. It's like Hulk Hogan's senile. You know, he's taking way too many pile drivers.
So you don't like the new hair for Max Holloway?
Nah, it's not my favorite.
Who rocks it better, him or Izzy?
Oh, Izzy did that too, huh? So that's kind of like a thing, right? These guys are all dyeing their hair yellow.
What about you?
You know who rocks it better?
You?
Davis and Figueredo.
Oh, he does.
Oh, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. I can't even say the guy's name without you giggling like a schoolgirl. You giggle like a schoolgirl the moment I say that dude's name.
You're right. Ariel. I forgot. How did I forget?
Ariel, who has the greatest yellow hair?
Davis and Figueredo, baby. Do it, Dos, or however you say his nickname. That guy is the man. Listen, I want to go get some sushi with Davis and Figueredo. Video, he was slicing that stuff. You don't want to get a hairstyle by him.
You will eat sushi with Davis and Figueredo too.
100%, 100%.
Even if his family's there, you're not opposed to like going to somebody's family dinner and just
this is disgusting what you're doing right now. This is absolutely disgusting. Joke has been going on 7 years now. Here I am in Las Vegas on my birthday, all by myself. This guy calls me, this guy, meaning Daniel Cormier, tells me, oh, come have dinner with my family, and I come have dinner. I'm like, no, I don't like to do that sort of thing. I go, finally, after much,
That is not true.
Yeah. Much convincing. And I sit there. What did I have? A bowl of rice. I ordered a bowl of rice. And now I feel like, because you bring it up so much, I feel like this created a rift between you and your wife. Is this what happened?
Okay, can I tell you my recollection of the story?
Yes, please, go ahead.
I'm sitting with my beautiful family. Mm-hmm. We're in the MGM Grand. Or Mandalay, what one of those restaurants?
Yeah.
And I see you.
No.
I see you. Listen, just let me finish the story. So you're walking through that little corridor that used to go from the arena to the place.
Yeah.
We're at the front. And Selena go, oh, there's Ariel. I was like, wait, you don't look. So then I look. Selena goes, hi, Ariel. You walk in. And you're like, is there another chair?
I was like, okay. I'm the last person to do that. Wait. I want no interaction.
Like, is there another chair? I'm like, okay. I was like, hey, Ariel, you can join us, but I didn't bring my credit card. I have $100. Could you order just rice? So then you ordered rice, and that was it. I only had $100. You ordered rice, and that's what happened. That's the way I remember the story.
Why has this story stuck with you after all these years? I mean, you invited me. You called me on my birthday to come sit down with you. I went begrudgingly. And for some reason, you feel like I overstepped my boundaries. By the way, that was the first time, and I've never talked about this publicly, the first time I ever ate with a fighter, even though your family was there, so I felt like it was a little different. I felt very uncomfortable. I thought I was going to be seen. I would be outed as a DC guy. It would have been bad for my rep. And now here you are bringing it up, outing me that 7 years ago, I had a bowl of rice with you. I don't think it's fair.
Hey, you remember that time I made you order catfish?
That one, the Mexican restaurant in Goodwill, which we shall not name.
Ariel, I've made you make some bad food decisions. You remember you were kind of doing the whole Ariel thing, right? Just looking at the menu, like short-circuiting. Just up and out. I was like, dude, try the catfish. Then you're like, what is this? This is the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten in my life. Like, you can't.
I don't actually think I had it.
You did have the catfish. You took one bite and you didn't eat it.
Where was this?
You're an elitist. We were in Philadelphia. We were in Philadelphia working for our former employer. We're sitting in the back. You order catfish. You're like, this is back?
I have no recollection. When did we go to Philadelphia together?
They fought in Philadelphia. Wait. It was Newark, New Jersey. Ooh. It was Newark, New Jersey. Anthony Johnson fought Ryan Bader.
No, I wasn't there. I was not there.
Yes, you were there. You ordered catfish, and you're like, this seems like a
– it's not kosher.
Fish is like a
– it's a bottom feeder.
Scavenger, bottom feeder. This is disgusting. I was like, my goodness, bro. Every time I try to tell you something, give you the direction, you go crazy. It was a good meal.
I would never eat catfish. You're confusing me with someone else.
You're telling me the catfish story.
Maybe it was Danny Rubenstein, your other favorite Jew.
Catfish story untrue?
Untrue, 100%.
Do you not remember us looking at the catfish? It was a barbecue restaurant. They had catfish.
No, I have no recollection.
You're so stupid. I swear to God, you're no-selling me now. You're actually no-selling.
Speaking of no-selling, do you remember a couple of weeks ago when they added Jorge Masvidal to the card and I said that he would bring like around 500,000 pay-per-view buys and you called me crazy?
Well, you are one of those guys that sure likes to say, I told you so, huh? It's your favorite thing in the world. It's your favorite thing in the world.
Can I get some props here? We're about to end the show. I've been waiting an hour for you to tell me, you know what, Aaron, you were right.
Oh, my goodness. It was crazy, right? Like, these guys did a ton of pay-per-views. It just showed that Jorge Masvidal is that biggest star. And even Dana admitted it. Dana went up there and admitted it. He said
– somewhat begrudgingly as well. A little begrudgingly.
Masked star. But I'm not begrudgingly, whatever that means. Because you said that five times. You said begrudgingly five times in the show. Whatever begrudgingly means, I'm not begrudgingly. So let's just get that out there. I don't dislike Jorge Masvidal. I've been kind of getting that a lot. Like, I don't like Jorge Mas.
Well, it's the same thing with me and Gilbert Burns. People say, like, oh, you dislike – I don't dislike Gilbert Burns at all. Like, when Dana said that Gilbert's going to fight Kamaru Usman, everyone was like, oh, Ariel right now is whiny. Sure. I couldn't care less. I could not care less. All I was saying was that Leon should fight Gilbert to determine the number one contender because Kamaru's going to be out for a while. Like, at the end of the day, it's not my life. It doesn't affect me one bit.
But
you
even
don't
just
hate Masvidal, I don't hate Gilbert. How about that?
No, but for sure, just like the other day, right? I fixed me and Jorge's relationship. Remember that day I fixed it? I was like, I said we were good, and so then we were good.
Yeah,
like
you decided.
Yeah, we're good now. Like Jorge and I are good. Like that's it. Like let's just let it go.
Let's just let it go.
Sold a ton of pay per view. Congrats, Game Bread. He's the man.
He is the man. You know what worries me as we round third here, DC? I got to say, I'm worried about something. I'm worried about our brother, Aljamain Sterling. I feel like he's getting the Montreal screw job. I feel like it's coming a mile away. What is going on?
Like, what is happening?
What?
Oh, my goodness.
He's getting the screws put on him. What's happening?
I'm like, Dana, just let me in the booking meeting. I just want to be in the booking meeting. I want to see how it works when the screw job came to play. I want to see how it works. I want to see how it works, dog, because I don't understand it. How in the world can you not just say Aljamain's the guy? Who else, though?
Who else? Well, Marlon Moraes is saying it was him because he knocked him out 3 years ago, and I get it, but he also, like, yeah, I mean, like, he got the title shot.
Oh, I forgot. Wait, Marlon Moraes did beat Jose Aldo.
Yeah, but he got the title shot, and
Wait.
Now you're saying Marlon Moraes? Wait a second.
No.
When everyone else said Aldo really won that fight.
No. Wait. I didn't know who else, so I wasn't very worried for Aljo. A bit of concern just came across my mind.
Oh, my gosh. Now,
Concern just came because I think Aljo's the guy. He should be fighting for the belt next. But when Marlon Moraes goes, I knocked him out and I did this, and now another player has entered into the conversation, that's scary. Because I don't know why there would be any hesitancy in saying he's the guy. You would think that he had earned that against Sanhagen.
I just want everyone to recognize what's happening here. This is the corporation right now.
Who, me?
Yes, this is justifying this. This guy has won five in a row. He's beating everyone.
Stop. What are you trying to do? You do this to me every time.
What?
I'm not playing the corporation. I'm saying Aljo deserves
the shot.
Aljo deserves the shot. But it's scary now that another name has entered the conversation. Before it was like, I don't know if he's the next guy with nobody else, at least to my knowledge, in the conversation. But then when I think, oh, my goodness, Marlon Moraes. I mean, Marlon Moraes is on a win streak.
But you said that Aldo deserved to beat Moraes, didn't you?
I did.
Justified Aldo getting the title, right?
I did. Yes. I also said Aldo in the title fight because he's the biggest name, and if Petr Yan can get past him, it legitimizes him. Right. Hey, listen, I'm in the booking meetings just doing whatever I think WWE does. So you don't want me booking title scenarios because I'm booking like a pro wrestler. So I don't know, man. It makes me worried for Aljo, but I do believe he should be the guy.
I feel like they said before the Sanhagen fight that the winner was getting the title fight. I don't know why.
Openly said that this could have been for the title.
Right. Which I campaigned for as well.
Yeah, bro, he went from being in the
club
title fight to the number two contender now. How did that happen to Aljo? What did Aljo do? When did he go left when he should have went right? He needs to talk to Matt Serra. Get Matt Serra to talk to Dana. He's got to get some answers.
Can I ask you a question? Seriously. Yes. Is it possible that the people that I campaigned to get a title shot aren't getting title shot?
Hey, Doug. I mean, honestly, if I got to be honest with you, like, please don't ever ask for a title shot for me. Okay. Like, I'm glad you to try to do my bidding for me because I'd be sitting on the outside watching.
I got to say, that just occurred to me. Leon Edwards, Masvidal beforehand.
Dudes will never get title fights. Everybody, you're like, man, this dude should be fighting for the belt. They all just sitting on the corner.
One fight that I really want to see happen, Colby Covington versus Tyron Woodley. They're going back and forth. They're trying to make it August 22nd. Woodley needs more time. And I kind of feel like he deserves a little more time, no? I mean, the guy was just in a fight May 30th. Is this fight ever going to happen? What do you think? Is this going to be one of those fights that just never happens? Because that would be a shame.
The fact that you just said you want it to happen, yes, it probably will never happen. It probably won't ever happen because you jinx fights. But Yes, Tyron needs a little more time. He shouldn't fight right now. Like, you know, he fought against Gilbert Burns, and he fought as hard as he possibly could, and he kind of got wiped out. I would take a little time if I'm T. Wood, try to reset my mind. He said he needed a reset, and that's true. That's him, like, being an open thinker. And that's not something you got with Tyron a lot, right? Tyron was kind of guarded before. Now you can see him, like, being completely honest with the world that he needs a little time to get his mind back where it needs to be for the title fight. I think he should wait.
But that's the fight to make.
It's like the fight.
I hope Colby waits for him.
Look, I believe it's the fight to make. But if T-Wood needs too much time, I'd like to see Colby fight
Leon. No, you said Leon Masvidal.
Leon, look, any of those three. Colby, Leon, Colby versus Masvidal, any of those. They all work for me. The welterweight division is fun, right? Because you got a ton of storylines in that weight class. All these guys have, like, they've all kind of made this crisscross pattern around each other to where you can just make all these fights without losing much.
All right. Well, a couple of shout-outs before we go. Shout-out to Rafael Fazayev. Did you see that guy? He did the Matrix move on Saturday against Mark DeCasey.
Oh,
you see that? Where he bent his back. That guy was nuts, man. That guy was so intense. Holy smokes. There's been some great performances as of late, and that was one of them, in my opinion. Another great performance, Lerone Murphy. Are you familiar with this guy, Lerone Murphy? This guy was walking outside in England 6 years ago outside of a barbershop, got shot twice in the neck, spit the bullets out. They call him the miracle, survived, had no direction, involved in, you know, some bad stuff. 6 months later, starts training in MMA. Now is an undefeated fighter. Won this past Wednesday. Won his UFC.
Oh yeah, he beat a good guy too, right? He beat Ricardo Ramos. Yeah,
in his guard, smashing him with those punches. I like this guy, Luke Barnett, former UFC fighter, very high on him. So shout out to him. Shout out to Calvin Kattar. We didn't have a lot of time to talk about Kattar with a big win over Dan Ige.
I like Dan Ige too, though. Fought very well. You know, a lot of people get credit for the contender series. I think Dan Ige, being number 10 in the world right now at this point, may be the most successful contender series guy that came off the show. I know Sean O'Malley has the big following, but he doesn't have the ranking and the wins of Dan Ige yet. But man, Calvin Kattar just continuing to show how much of a problem he is for everybody in the featherweight division. Very impressed with Calvin Kattar.
Peter Holloway, you like that?
I think that, you know, honestly, I thought that was the fight that's going to be made next. I think that's the guy Max will fight because Calvin Kattar has now put himself in a position where he has earned another one of those big matchups.
Shout out to Paul Felder, who left in the middle of the broadcast to corner Jared Gordon, right? Wasn't that amazing? What a nice guy.
Yeah, Paul's the man, bro. Like, you know, when I first heard that this kid's coaches weren't going to be able to corner him, I was very concerned for him because I didn't know what happened. But Paul Felder did it. And also, Eric from Extreme MMA, Eric Nixick. They both cornered him, and hats off to both of those guys. Eric is a phenomenal guy. I trained at Extreme Couture when I was there working. He is a man, just a nice human being, and I'm glad that they were able to do that for Jared.
Shout out to the Dan Le Batard show, which put out a poll last week. Is Daniel Cormier better at talking about fights or fighting? 85% said talking about fights.
How is that even possible?
No respect. How in that the just world means you're really good at doing this.
But that's kind of crazy, though, right? Like, man, how in the world does 85% of the world think that I'm better at talking at fighting than I am at actually fighting? Have they seen me fight before? Or is the only memory they have is me losing to Stipe Miocic last time? Like, it's crazy. But thank you for the support. But I really would like to hey, what is that word you give? Degrudgingly? I'd like to begrudgingly disagree. I begrudgingly disagree with that notion.
Close. It's begrudgingly. just a couple more. Shout out to The Rock. Him and Francis Ngannou playing footsie online. That was cool, right? Saying they wanted to train together. I'd love to see that one of these days.
Could you imagine the weights that are going to be lifted in that garage? Oh, the Rock doesn't have – The Rock's like, stay home. Train at home, guys. It's all good. The Rock has a freaking museum in the back with nothing but weights. The Iron Paradise, which he travels when he goes to do movies and stuff. Like, all those weights and all that, The Rock has that thing when he goes on movie sets and stuff. So that stuff's always available to him, that massive weight room that he uses.
Wow.
It's everywhere he goes to work.
I didn't know that. That's incredible. Wow.
The Rock's the man, bro. They build him out of a big old freaking weight room everywhere he goes.
I wish he'd be the president. I love The Rock. I wish he'd run the world. He's the man. What?
Don't say stuff like that, man. Because in this day and age, man, anybody. I mean, you saw Kanye's rally yesterday.
Oh, let's not get into that. Let's not get into that. Hey, shout out to Bellator. They're back on Friday. Good to see them back. Shout out to Rose Namajunas. She had nose surgery successfully on Friday. Hope she gets well soon. Joe Duffy, like I said, great career, my man. Hold your head up high. And shout out to the card this weekend. Very quickly, look at these names, DC. Robert Whittaker, Darren Till. Shogun Hua against Antonio Rogerio Nogueira. Fabricio Verdum against Alexander Gustafsson and Gustafsson's heavyweight debut. Carlos Esparza against Marina Rodriguez. Paul Craig, Alex Oliveira. What about Hamza Chimaev? There's a lot of Todd Duffy, Nicholas. Todd Duffy's not.
Todd Duffy's not fighting. I talked to Todd Duffy this morning, man. What are you talking about?
Hey, there's a weird thing going on Wikipedia.
Oh my goodness. Once again, that's the second time. That's the second time you see something, you read it, regardless if you know it's wrong, you just read it.
I just fell for it.
Every card, again.
On Wikipedia, every card, they put Todd Duffy versus John Vellante.
You did it again.
And I swear
to God. What is wrong with you, dude? What is wrong with you?
Last week, and I looked it up, and I was like, I can't believe I fell for it.
Oh, Todd Duffy. Yo, I wasn't aware that they're doing that. But I talked to Todd Duffy's
card. They do it on Wikipedia, and I keep falling for it. I'm like, what? Todd Duffy's not fighting John Vellante?
I talked to Todd Duffy this morning. He is not fighting, dog.
Okay, all right. We're out of time. Thank you to Ancestry and who else? Manscaped and Modelo and the whole team. DC, have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks to everyone.
That's absolutely absurd. All right, man, I'm out.
Peace, we're out of here.